At Public.com, you can earn 5.1% APY with a high-yield cash account. And while we can't say it's officially the highest interest rate out there, we can say this. It's higher than Robinhood, SoFi, Wealthfront, Capital One, and the big banks, too. Ready to start earning 5.1% APY on your cash? Check out the high-yield cash account on Public.com. This is paid for by Public Investing. 5.1% APY as of March 26, 2024, and is subject to change. A high-yield cash account is a secondary brokerage account with Public Investing, member FINRA/SIPC. Funds from this account are automatically deposited into partner banks where they earn a variable interest and are eligible for FDIC insurance. Neither Public Investing nor any of its affiliates is a bank. U.S. only. Learn more at public.com/disclosure/high-yield-account.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, turns 60 years old this week. But with the global economy changing as fast as it's changing, the energy sector, especially in the past decade or so, 60 is not exactly spry and agile anymore, you know? Daniel Yergin has spent decades explaining geopolitics through oil. His books, you might know, include The Prize and The Quest. He's also a vice chairman of the big research and information company IHS Market. His latest book on the state of play in the global energy economy is called The New Map. We got him, as you'll hear, at home a couple of days ago.
Wait, I got to get rid of a kitty cat.
That's all right. We'll take it all. You're going to hear my dogs here in a minute, too, so don't worry.
Okay. Yes, the world of pets.
I'll tell you what. I want to ask you, well, there's a lot of stuff I want to ask you about in this book, but I want to go to the section that you call America's New Map. And I want to point out, as you do in this book, that for decades, generations really, American foreign policy has been based around and on energy. And you write in this book that the last decade has really changed that. What do you mean?
The U.S. for half a century was preoccupied with the fact, that, from this point of view, that it was importing oil and had become the world's largest importer. And now it turns around, in a remarkably short time, the U.S. has become the largest producer of oil in the world. And that era of scarcity is over, that so dominated our foreign policy.
A lot of this, virtually all of this, you credit to the shale revolution and to that economic impact that it has had on this economy. Has to be said that there are environmental problems with fracking and getting shale out of the ground, and that comes in for some deserved criticism. But it has been, you say, an economic boom to this country that really deserves mention.
Yeah. Yes, I think on the environmental grounds, I was part of the commission that President Obama set up to look at shale and said if it's properly regulated, it's an industrial activity, it works well. And that's been the case in general. There have been issues that have come up in specific circumstances. But the economic impacts, I think, are the things that are not recognized. Big impact on manufacturing in the Midwest. Over $200 billion of investment in new factories, and it's created a lot of jobs. It means that basically money that went overseas into the sovereign wealth funds of countries instead has stayed in the United States and circulates in our economy.
What has it let us do, this ability to be energy independent? What has it let us do internationally and in the global economy?
What it's done is it's given flexibility to U.S. foreign policy. Whether you support President Obama's approach to Iran or President Trump's approach or what might be President Biden's approach, we have flexibility to deal with Iran that we didn't have before because the Iranians thought that, you know, they had the high cards because the world couldn't do without their oil. But actually, the U.S., President Obama put sanctions on Iran and their oil was replaced by our oil. So that's, I think, a clear example of the impact.
Can't talk to Daniel Yergin without talking about OPEC and the cartel that has dominated the energy conversation for, well, since its founding, really. You say now that's not really the conversation to have, that the conversation to have in global energy is Russia, the United States, and the Saudis. Talk about that a little bit.
OPEC versus non-OPEC has been the sort of dominating motif in people's minds about how the energy, the oil world works. That's been overtaken by the fact it is dominated by really what I call the big three, what the United States does, what Saudi Arabia does, and what Russia does. Last April, when the U.S. economy and European economies were shut down and oil prices went negative, which is a hard concept to wrap your head around, it was the United States that really stepped in and made a deal to stabilize the market. And this, you know, you just couldn't have imagined this happening before.
Well, take the pandemic here for a second, because you are a guy who has spent his career thinking about energy and the future of this and the global economy. I wonder if the past 6 months since the pandemic started have made you just kind of throw up your hands and say, I don't even know now.
I think there's a lot of statements about how the world has been changed by the pandemic. I think it's still too soon because we're still in the middle of it. And we don't really know what the world will look like next, you know, when it's over. What we do know is how people work will have changed. On the other hand, you also see that people are kind of leery about going on public transportation right now. And there's been a surge in sales of used cars. So my reaction is when people say this is definitely going to happen or that's going to happen, I say it's too soon.
Daniel Yergin, you know him for many things. The new thing he's got coming is a new book called The New Map, Energy, Climate, and the Clash of Nations. Dr. Yergin, thanks for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've got an excerpt of Dr. Yergin's new book about the natural gas well in Texas where the fracking revolution actually began. We have it online, of course, marketplace.org.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.